Maybe you're wondering why I'm up here again. I think most of you know, if you're new here, you may not know, we are just beginning the process of looking for a new senior pastor, and that's going to take some time. But I want to assure you, over the next few months as we go forward, things are going to go on here. Someone is going to stand up here every week and share the Word of God with you. It won't be me, it'll be many other people. As we go forward, we have ministry with Encouraging Women, EW, coming up soon. Roger and I are talking about starting again a men's Bible study and getting some things going. And I also understand, this is my first summer here, that there's a big exodus here. And so I think more than half of our church is gone. And in the fall, I think they'll be coming back, and also new people. And so, but we're going to continue going on here, even if we just have a few people here, as people go home and visit their families and take breaks. There's going to be great things, and every week we can promise you, someone will stand up here and we'll worship, and we'll praise the Lord, and we'll take out the Word of God and have something for you from God and His Word to share with you that will help you. If you weren't here last week, my name is Rick Kaner. My wife Lisa is there in the back. We are missionaries here. We've been here for 9 years. And this last year have joined CCC Church to do all of our ministry out of this church. I want to talk to you about something, about running a race. First of all, let me tell you this story. I think it was in 1983 or 1984, Australia has a race, a running race, that is 875 kilometers long. They run from Sydney to Melbourne, Australia. And they run this race, they've continued this race even now. And in 1983, a guy named Cliff Young showed up at the race. You can imagine, at this race are the elite racers, running racers. By the way, I may not look like it, but I used to be a runner. I worked, when I went to seminary, I worked for a sporting good company that sold running gear, and we traveled to all the major marathons, Boston Marathon, LA Marathon, all over. We loaded up, we went there, we set up a big booth, and sold millions and millions of dollars worth of supplies. Our owner said, and I hadn't run much before that, a little bit here and there, but our owner said, I'll pay you $2 for every mile that you run. And you use our equipment, you use our shoes, and you use our running gear and shorts so that when you're selling it, you can say, this is how this performs. They asked me to represent what our owner called the Clydesdale division. Okay, a Clydesdale is a big, strong horse. Okay, so he also wanted us to understand some history about running and different things and read some books on running. And I read this story about Cliff Young in Australia. He came to this race as a 61-year-old. 875 kilometers long. And he showed up in his farming, he was a farmer, a sheep farmer, and he showed up in his farming clothes and his work boots. And what they would do, this was a 5-day race. So the racers would race 18 hours and sleep for 6 hours. Okay? So the first day they raced for 18 hours. And then all the elite racers, all these great racers, slept. The problem is Cliff Young didn't know he was supposed to stop and sleep. So he kept running all night long. And people thought, he's not going to last a day and a half. He's not going to last 2 days. So the next day, all the racers stopped. He passed them. And he kept going. At the end of the race, he had run 5 days straight. Okay, 61 years old, he ran 5 days straight, and he beat the second place person was 9 hours behind him, elite runners. who trained to sleep every night. They didn't train that. And he was a sheep farmer, and he said, they interviewed him and said, well, I used to run up in the mountains and we would chase sheep for days. I read about him in one of the books our owner made us read. And he did no special training except he chased sheep on the mountains. And he said, well, I didn't know I was supposed to stop. And he just, they have something that runners call, elite runners call the young shuffle. It's a way of running, minimizing impact on your muscles and minimizing impact on your joints. And they follow that. What I want to talk to you about is the fact that God has called us to run a spiritual race similar to that of the heart of Cliff Young. I think he ran the last one when he was 80-something years old. And he ran this for many, many years. We are in a race, in a spiritual race, and the passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 that I'm going to share today is going to tell us some motivations for that race. Why do we run that race? And how should we run spiritually, similar to what Cliff Young did? And it tells us very clearly. Hebrews chapter 12, if you have your copy of God's Word, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Before we read this passage, and we're going to stay there for a little while, and look at those two verses a little more in depth, I think it's good for us to understand, when the author is writing this, what is the context that he's writing it. It's very, very important that we understand that, and why would he say what we're going to read about running the race? So let's understand a little bit about that, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of people who were very strong at the beginning, and after a while they just started to lose their way. They just started to lose their focus, and sin, a little bit of sin started to get in, and they just started getting lazy in their Christian life, in their spiritual life, just losing that passion, losing that focus, and they just, everything was just kind of spiritually blah, and they didn't take things seriously anymore. It was written to a church that was getting old, spiritually at least. They were settling into the world, and they were just losing their passion for God. Started drifting away, not running with endurance, as Hebrews is going to tell us, and just being kind of lazy in it. I would say, this may be, if English isn't your first language, you might not understand, they were just kind of meandering through life or strolling. And meandering is what you do at Chatuchak Park. If you've been to Chatuchak Park, you don't go to Chatuchak Park to run a race. My daughter, who's 23 years old now, whenever she comes back to Thailand, even when she was here living here, she always comes up to me. And you know that when they start with daddy, they want you to do something. Daddy, and she kind of draws it out and stuff. Daddy, can you take me to Chatuchak Park? It's my least favorite place in Thailand, Chatuchak Park. The largest outdoor market in the world. I don't want to be around that many people. I don't want to be in the heat. And I don't want to buy anything. Okay, so I just don't like going there. But my daughter will come to me and say, you know, Daddy, please go with me. And I don't get to see you much anymore, please. And I'm off. Because I love my daughter. You go to a park, or Chatuchak Park, or the park that's behind it, to look at the butterflies or the flowers or there's a great train station there, by the way. Old museum train station is kind of a neat thing you could take the kids to. But you go to Chatuchak Park to just take it slow and take it easy and stop and eat and drink and buy. And there's too many people, you just can't run. That's good for Chatuchak Park, but it's bad for our spiritual lives in a spiritual way. And so let's think about this a little bit. We're in Hebrews 2, but I want you to go to Hebrews 2:1 just for a second. Hebrews 2, verse 1. It gives us some indication of what's going on with the church. What's going on with the people that he's writing to, so that we understand where we're going. And he warns them here. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. That term drifting is like a term that's used for ships. I worked for a summer in Alaska on a fishing boat. And I realized very early when I got the helm and when I got to drive the boat, I had to follow a course. And if I wasn't really just following a course, especially if the wind was coming, I just began to drift away. And I remember the captain telling me over and over, when you've got the wheel, pay attention. Don't let the wind take you somewhere else. Don't drift off. Pay attention and stay focused. And he's telling them, remember your goal, pay attention. And he's warning them because they're starting to go off and they're starting to move away. Hebrews chapter 3, let's go there. Give us another indication of what's going on. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 13. Again, a warning to the Hebrews, and it's a warning to us also. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He wants them to understand there's something very serious going on in that group of people. Be careful. It's also a great warning for us. Be careful. Don't let sin get inside of our hearts and come out of our mouths and come out of our actions and just pull us away. It's so easy. I know it's easy in my own life. And it just pulls us away and it's just something's not right. Be careful. Don't be lazy. If you're not careful, sin will harden your heart, and that's what he's telling them. Hebrews chapter 5, let's go there. Excuse me, let's just go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, I'm going to read the passage we're going to talk about today. I just want to set this up a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Here he's talking about their spiritual condition. This is a group who really needed this letter. They needed this help. Verse 12 and 13 of chapter 12. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint but rather be healed. He's saying the knees are weak, the hands are drooping. It's kind of this lame limp that this church has because of its sin. And he's saying, listen, be strong. Don't let that happen. Don't go there spiritually because it will destroy you. It will eventually hurt you. And as I read this week and I was studying, I was just thinking in my own life, and my wife and I were talking and other friends were talking, I need to be careful. The reality is that even when we're doing something right, even when we're on the right track, sin is right around the corner, ready to just jump on us. The fact is, if we could all read each other's minds, we probably wouldn't be friends. That's just the reality. We laugh because we know what we think sometimes and the things that pop into our heads. And Thankfully, we don't say everything that pops into our heads. So he's just saying, be careful. And I think it's important for us here at CCC that we're careful on a corporate level, but also individually, be careful. Okay? Okay, let's finally get there. Hebrews 12, what we're going to talk about today. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And let me read that to you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the protector of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's about running and running this spiritual race that we must run. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, this is a race that we have to run. Verse 1, let me just start there, and before I give you the three motivations for running the race. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, here's what I want us to focus on, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. I told you that I was a runner, at least for a little while, until I hurt my ankle very, very badly and I had to stop. Before that, I was a hiker. And when I was 17 years old, I went on a hike. We took a boat from Victoria, Canada, up through alongside of Vancouver Island. And we got off on a boat at sea level, and we hiked up to 10,000 feet from sea level, every foot of it. Okay? So I remember on the boat, I had my pack. I had packed all the things that I needed. This was going to be the biggest hike that I've ever done. And I knew I had all my supplies, and I get to the camp where we're going to be leaving from, and the guides are there, and they're explaining things, and there were 9 guys on this hike, all high school guys, and we were going to have 2 guides, and I see 9 piles of just stuff sitting there and I'm thinking, 9 piles, 9 guys, and so I'm trying to figure out what these piles were there, and I didn't know exactly. So the guides tell us, okay, this is the stuff. Each of you need to carry these supplies. Part of the supplies were a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner for 9 guys who were going to be expending a lot of energy. So, and then some other supplies, some safety things that we need to have. And I was thinking, my pack is already pretty heavy. So we went over there, we packed all these things, and I thought, I was so happy with a lightweight pack, and they packed all this stuff on. And I was praying, okay, Lord, please make the first day that they take one of my meals out to feed everybody. Please make it so that I lose that. But it wasn't until like the third day. And they took out just a little bit, one of the meals, and it felt so light. By the end, having all of them gone, it was just so wonderful. And I could hike faster, I could do more. Then when we got to the top, we stayed 3 nights on a glacier at the top, and we were going to the peak the next day. And because it was just a day hike, we just put a few things in our pockets, just a few hours to get to the top, and we had basically no packs, nothing that was hindering us. It felt like we were running up that last bit because there was no weight on our backs. Sometimes sin creeps into our lives and it's like carrying a weight when we have to run. And it could be just a little thing. Actually, it says here, every weight and sin. So it is talking about sin, but it's also talking about other things that may not be sin specifically, but it slows us down. It keeps us from running. Any sin, any weight that hurts us, it says, throw it aside. And the verse this morning is asking me, and it's asking you, to evaluate what are those things in our lives. What do we need to throw aside that's keeping us from being faithful, that's keeping us from running a race, spiritual race, with endurance? I'm going to tell you a funny one that you may laugh, but many years ago, I used to make chili, okay? And it was good chili. It was good. I'm going to tell you why I stopped. I really had, my problem was not chili. My problem was pride over my chili. And it was, I was just so proud of it and whatever we were doing, and people loved it and competitions and stuff like that. And I made, 15 years ago, I made a bad batch of chili. Okay? And I had never done that. I took a jar of something, put it in there. I thought it was something else. That was just the finishing touch. I didn't need to taste it. And so a bunch of people around tasting it. And immediately my kids said in front of this group, "Dad, this is terrible." And to this day, they tease me about that chili. Because it was something that was used in my life, kind of pride, I'm being really serious about this. I was proudful over my chili. For 15 years, I didn't make chili. Until last year, and I began to make it again. In fact, last month, we were supposed to have the general meeting for the church. We had a chili cook-off. I had two chilies submitted. Maybe God said no. We didn't end up having it. Didn't want me to struggle with that. I think I'm over it now. But the point is this. Any weight that slows us down. Any weight at all, even the smallest thing. I told you that I used to work for a company. We used to go to running races. Did that regularly. This is while I was in graduate school in seminary. And we would occasionally go to a race that was a 50-mile race or a 100-mile race. And we'd set up our stuff and sell things and sell energy drinks and all kinds of different things. So I remember the first 100-mile race that our boss sent me to. And different people on those races would wear something like a little picture of their child or put a ribbon for some cause or something like that. And I remember one guy had this little ribbon raising money for something that he was racing for. And the way they did this course is, I think it went around 25 miles, and then they came by the station where we were again. So a number of times that they came by. Okay? And this guy had been running, and he had his pin, and he was representing. By the second, I think maybe the third time around, he had taken the pin off. And so this was a guy that I knew. So at the end, I've seen him at some other races, and we've become friends. So at the end, I said, what did you do with the pin? And he said, it was weighing me down. He said, on a normal marathon or 20 miles or something like that, it wouldn't bother me. But after so long, it just began to irritate me. And it just began to be something that was bothering me and distracting me. So somewhere on the course, he said, I took it off. I had to take it off. And I noticed that everyone who had pins, most of them had taken the picture off or something like that. Because even though it was so small, after a while, it began to weigh them down and distract them from finishing that race. And he said, it was just driving me crazy. I had to get rid of it. Even the smallest sin, or even something that's not sin, can draw us away from running a faithful race. I want to give you some homework. I promise I'm getting to this passage. The motivations for running this race. Before I do that, I want to give you some homework. I want you, in the next few days, try to put a time, maybe by Wednesday, that you go home, take a piece of paper, take a notebook, and write down how you want to run your race. If you haven't thought about that for a while, it's something good to do on a regular basis, every now and then. Stop and say, okay, this is how I want to run my race. These are the things that are important to me. And also list the things that you want to lay aside. Sins maybe that have come into your life and just keeping you from running strong, or just other things that may be distracting you and weighing you down. Maybe it's not sin, but it's something that for you, it's slowing you down. Take it. Write down any excuses that you've ever made for that thing. Write down how you're going to do it. Pray and ask God that as you lay those things aside, He gives you strength and He gives you the power to put it all away. And if you need help doing that, we have people at the church that will say, okay, I don't understand exactly how to do that. We'll sit down with you and we'll talk with you how to, what would be some things that help you. Let me say this too. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have all the power you need to lay aside those sins and lay aside those weights. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know Jesus Christ and His power of His resurrection to know how that's possible. And we can help you with either one of those questions. There was a time when I didn't know Jesus Christ, and I didn't know things, the habits, things that I wanted to change. I didn't have power to do that. But there is a way for you to know Jesus Christ, and there's a way for you to lay those things aside. And the Word of God, and we have people here who can help you do that. Okay, now let's get to it. Finally, Hebrews chapter 12 that we read, three motivations to run the race like God or like Jesus wants us to run the race. Number one, it's found in verse 1, but number one is looking back to this great cloud of witnesses. Verse 1 again, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, and it goes on. What is this great cloud of witnesses? Or some translations say, huge cloud of witnesses. What this is, are the saints who have lived and died and run their race with endurance for their faith. These are the people that have gone before you, specifically what was given to us in Hebrews chapter 11, these great men of faith. We're going to look at some of them. That should be one of our motivations for running a faithful race and a race full of endurance. Look at Hebrews 11. I'm going to give you some of the examples. I encourage you to read all of Hebrews 11 because what's being said in 12 is coming right from this. Hebrews 11, verse 7. These are some of the examples of this great cloud of witnesses. These people who have run the race before us. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah and his example of obeying God and doing what God wanted him to do, even when everyone else thought he was crazy, is one of the witnesses. And there are more. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go out to a place that was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, and it goes on. Verse 23, 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Verse 29. Talking about all the people of Israel. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. And so many others, as you read chapter 11, this cloud of witnesses that went before us. And one of the reasons we're motivated to run strong is that they ran strong. They ran a great race of endurance. And their lives are a witness to you. Okay? I want you to just imagine, although we're talking about this spiritually, I want you to just imagine this race course. And as you're running this race in a spiritual way, Moses is there. And Abraham is there. And so many others that we read about in Hebrews 11 are there, and by their example, by the way that they lived, are saying to you, I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult to run this race of faith, but look what I did. I did it. I ran faithfully. I did it, and you can too with God's help. That's what this great cloud of witnesses is. They're there. They're speaking to us. Stay strong. Don't stop. And that's how they witness to us. That's what they show us. I want to show you one more in chapter 11, verse 4. Another one. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. Listen to this. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel is dead. And it says, though he died, he still speaks. God wants us to understand that the example of Abel shows us he's not here anymore, but his life is continuing to teach us because of his faithfulness. Now, I don't know if you have someone in your life that was a great example of faithfulness that maybe has passed away. And I know that I do, specifically a pastor, and as I think about his life, and actually he's a Thai pastor here, was a Thai pastor who died just a few months ago, but as I think about his life and his example and the things that he taught me and how he encouraged me, even though he's dead, I still sometimes think about his example. And you probably have people like that in your life that still speak to you. I don't mean in words like a ghost or anything like that. Because of who they are, the way that they lived, and the faithfulness that they showed, they still teach you and they still speak to you. That's what he's saying here about this great cloud of witnesses. They're still helping us. They're still motivating us. You're running and they're on the left and they're on the right and they're before you and they're behind you and they're just saying, keep going. Don't stop. Be faithful. Move on. Even though it's difficult, keep going. I want you to take this very personally. They are there for you. That's why going back to the Old Testament and looking at their lives is so important, specifically because of this. We need their example. The difficulties they went through, the difficulties that we go through, many of them the same kinds of things. Okay, the second motivation. is this. Jesus is the one that creates and perfects our faith. Jesus alone is the one that creates and perfects our faith. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Again, verse 2 just talks about, let me finish the end of verse 1 again. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the protector of our faith. He started it, and he will finish it. It all comes from him. If you're here today and you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you, he's the one that can create that in you. If you go to him and you cling to him and you believe in him, he's the one that is the beginning of the faith, and he's the one that keeps it, perfects it, keeps going. It all comes from him. You can't rely on your own power. You never, never can. You need more faith to run strong. This encourages me because I feel weak sometimes. I shared last week the situation with my wife, and now 7 years still going to physical therapy and wanting to be faithful to the Lord in all areas of my life. And sometimes I'm just tired. And I just want to run away. I don't want to run the race anymore. I just want to break and just sit. But God tells us we're always in the race. So I cling to him. I go to him. And that's what you have to do also. So the third motivation, this is the last one. The third motivation is also found in verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and protector of our faith, and then who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The third motivation is there is a great joy at the end. One of the reasons why did Jesus endure this? Look, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Was it joy to go through the cross? No. Is it joy to suffer in any way for any of us? No. But he's saying Jesus endured it because there was some joy set before him. The salvation of all humanity. So we need to remember that when we have pain, we have cancer, we're suffering, relationships that are bad, the cross is greater than all of that. There is a joy waiting for you that is beyond anything that you could ever imagine. We have a number of asylum seekers here in this church who have been run out of their cities, some beaten, some at gunpoint, because they named the name of Jesus Christ. I want them to know, and I want you to know, that there's joy in the future, regardless of what you're suffering through. One of the reasons, this is one of the main motivations, this motivation for me, as I think about the things that are going on with my wife and 7 years of suffering and all these things that have happened since the accident, there's joy at the end. You will rest in heaven. How many of you need a rest? My wife's raising her hand. Listen, things are hard, work is difficult, all kinds of things that are going on in our lives, we're suffering, we're hurting. You will rest in heaven. And that should motivate you as you run this race of endurance. You have a reward waiting for you. There's not going to be any entanglements. There's no sin. There's no weight at that moment. Like the Bible says, our lives are like a vapor. It's just a little bit of smoke. Or it also says that it's your life is the breath of your hand. So even though you may suffer most of your life, I don't know your situation, it's just a little bit. And then there's a joy that's ahead of you. It was true of Jesus, and it's true of us. There's a great reward at the end of our lives. So run with endurance. I want to run my life, at least in a spiritual way, like Cliff Young did. I want to be motivated by these things, and I'm asking God for my own life, motivate me through these things. Motivate me because of this great cloud of witnesses. I've got to go to the Word of God, the Old Testament, and look at those guys. I'm motivated because He's the one that started my faith. He's the one that will protect my faith. And I'm motivated to keep running because there's great joy at the end. Let's pray.